Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jay Trotter of ESPN is with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Jake had the report about Demaryius Randall missing practice. And Jake, this is a weird – let's start with that. That situation, are you surprised the Browns didn't just move on from him?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think it's going to be interesting, too, to see how this develops through the week and then, you know, what their secondary looks like on Sunday. But, I mean, look at it this way. I don't know. Like, that was the biggest game for Cleveland in how long? I mean, a chance to put yourself in great position to make the playoff, a chance to beat your rival on their home field. And when you got a guy that you're really counting on that you can't even bring with you, you know, because you got to send a message that some of this stuff is not, you know, tolerable. It's a huge problem, you know, for this team, and I don't see how, like, that's a guy that you feel good about relying on, you know, even for the rest of this season. Certainly not, you know, post this season.
Yeah, and that's the question: is if they're not bringing him back next year, the season's pretty much over in terms of playoffs. Why not just cut him now? I just don't get that. I know that you know, Adam kind of brought that up too, but like. It just move on. I mean, if you want to send a message, cut the guy.
Yeah, and so I don't know, like, what the conversations have been since between he and Freddie or he and, you know, the front office. But I just know that, you know, we saw what happened to the Browns secondary in that game. And yeah, you know, Freddie said Sheldrick Redwine played well. You know, Justin Burris has been a solid guy all year. But you know, they're a better team when they have their starters on the field. And I think the frustrating thing, if you're a Cleveland fan, is that this is now you're missing three guys, three defensive starters in a massive game for reasons other than injury. If you want to go all the way back to Jermaine Whitehead and then obviously Myles Garrett. And, you know, in college football, if you're Ohio State, the margin for error is so great. Like, you can do whatever and still beat Maryland or Rutgers or even Michigan. But in the NFL, like, the margin is so slim that when you have stuff like that going on off the field, it's the difference in making the playoffs and not. And there have been so many games this year where it's been the little things that have killed the Browns and put them in a position where they're probably not going to make the playoffs. And if they could just eliminate the self-inflicted errors on and off the field, they might be in a much different spot today than they are now.
You know, Jake, obviously you bring a fresh perspective to the Browns because a lot of the other beat reporters in town have been covering this team a long time. They've suffered covering this team, dealing with all the losses. As someone who's newer to the beat, is it hard to believe sometimes when you think about it, not only the disappointment of the season with the talent they have, that happens, but just that it seems like every week there's a silly storyline either off the field or – you know, in terms of some of the Beckham stuff with the Sutton, the visor and all that stuff, it's on the field, but kind of an off the field story. How, is it bizarre or is it, hey, this happens all over the place?
It's so bizarre, I have a hard time explaining it to people who don't live here, you know, and not experienced it themselves. And I get asked from people, you know, whether it's at ESPN or back in Oklahoma City or other places I've lived and worked, like, what is going on there? Like, what is the deal? What is it like covering this team? And I mean, you would like to say that this stuff happens everywhere. It doesn't. I mean, like, the list of things that happen with this team is basically you could not fit it on a, you know, yellow pad, one page. I mean, you're probably looking at three or four pages now. I mean, remember when Richard Sherman, you know, made up that story about shaking Baker's hand? Like, Myles Garrett has been in two, like, punching incidents this year alone.
Yeah.
On the field with Mason Rudolph, and then randomly with a fan the month before. So I don't know what it is. I don't know. I can't explain it. I'm sure you guys can't either. It has been surreal to see up close in person. You know, I knew there was going to be some drama, but I didn't you know, coming into this, expect everything that's happened. It's exceeded, you know, my wildest expectations for this season. And I think the other part of it, you know, bringing a fresh perspective, I felt like I was the most stunned person of anybody. I don't want to say necessarily on the Browns, but maybe on the Browns or who covers the Browns by what happened Sunday. I mean, like, I fully expected Cleveland to win that game. I did not see a scenario in which they wouldn't win, just given what, how well that they were playing and what Pittsburgh was missing. And to see sort of people not really that surprised by that, I thought was kind of startling for me.
Jake Trotter is our guest from ESPN. Jake, this Chris Smith cut today just seems wrong. You know, I don't really get it. I mean, after all he's been through, I mean, why not just keep the guy around? I mean, you're paying him already. Can't you find a way to, like, you know, everyone's got an injury and put him on IR or something, just keep him around the building? It just I don't get that.
Huge bummer. You know, listen, he wasn't helping them. I think there's reason for that, given what he's gone through. I'm sure that's affected, you know, his play. Think about how something like that would affect, you know, your job or my job. It would have a huge effect on it. So, you know, it is true that he really wasn't, you know, helping them much on the field. But, you know, we hear them talk about family and, you know, we're a family and we have to support each other like a family. It doesn't feel like a very family supportive move. And, you know, it kind of goes back to, you know, fans want to say, you know, players got to be loyal. I think this is an example of why they necessarily don't need to be, because it doesn't always go two ways, both ways.
By the way, we just got some breaking news in the NFL. Ron Rivera has been fired as the head coach at Carolina.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, he's been there a long time, and obviously things have gone in the wrong direction this year. They just blew a big lead to the Redskins this past week. You know,
by the way, you made me nervous when you said that.
You thought you missed Freddie getting fired, right? No, and speaking of which, like, you know, I hate having every year to say, I think the Browns need a new coach. And, you know, it's possible Freddie improves if he's given more time. I don't know. I think he's made so many mistakes that he doesn't even realize the mistakes. That has me concerned, Jake, for covering him. You're around him a lot. Do you think Freddie – clearly he's not a good enough coach right now. Do you believe his mistakes are correctable?
Well, I think number one, I've heard people, you know, on your airwaves in the last few days say, well, if they beat this team and that team and they finish 8-8, like, he should keep his job. I don't think the record should have anything to do with it.
Completely agree.
Beating Cincinnati twice, like, who cares?
Yeah.
I think you have to evaluate this by not necessarily the wins and losses, but what you're witnessing behind the scenes, and then also what you're seeing on game day. And I think the arrangement that they've had with Freddie has been very difficult for him and for this team, where you have a guy who's a first-time head coach at any level, learning on the fly, who also is a offensive coordinator for a full season for the first time at any level. And yeah, like, he called the plays last year, but, you know, that was Todd Haley's offense he was calling plays off of. And, you know, they were adding wrinkles and all of that. But, you know, he was part of the install this year in a way that he probably was not last year. And that's, like, a huge steep learning curve. And I think it's been a lot for him. I think he's admitted it at times that, you know, he's learning on the fly, I think was the phrase, you know, he used at one point. And so, you know, if you're the front office, you have to look at that and say, okay, where's the trajectory from where we started to where we are now? And, you know, where do we see this going? Because a lot of the core pieces are back. Like, that's the one silver lining of this season, is you've got Nick Chubb back. You got Kareem Hunt back if you want him. Odell, Jarvis under contract. Myles Garrett will play another football game at some point again. But I think for me, the first question is this. Do we see Baker Mayfield developing into the quarterback we think he can be with Freddie Kitchens as his head coach and his play call? And I don't know what their answer to that is, but there's no denying that Baker has not taken the step forward this season like everybody, including them, thought he would take. Now, he's certainly not the first quarterback in NFL history to struggle in year two. There's a long list of guys like Drew Brees, another undersized Austin, Texas native, who really struggled that second year, found his footing, and took off. And Baker could definitely still do that. I think he will. But if you're looking at this era, the Baker Mayfield era at Cleveland, this is about finding the best support system for him from a head coach and offensive coordinator play caller perspective. And they have to decide if Freddie is that guy. And if he's not, then regardless of whether they beat the Bengals or not, then they've got to make a change. If they think he is still that guy, then you keep him, even if they lose to Arizona or whatever. But the one thing I'd be concerned about is how many head coaches, how many offensive coordinators would that be if you went ahead and fired Freddie Kitchens for Baker Mayfield? And that track record is usually not very good for quarterbacks who cycled through a bunch of guys early on in their career.
Jake, this might be kind of a strange question, but you've covered Baker since his days in college. Does he look like he's put on weight? I mean, he doesn't. He looks. You're there every day. He kind of looks a little out of shape. Is that fair or unfair?
He definitely's put on weight, but I don't think that was by accident. Yeah. I mean, I remember when I saw him this summer, and I hadn't seen him, you know, in a few months. And he definitely looked bigger to me.
Yeah.
Like, if you're asking me if he's gained weight during the season, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, he's definitely put on weight.
He looks different. He just looks different to me. I can't explain it.
I think the idea was, like, you got to, you know, you're taking 32 sacks. You've got to put on some weight to withstand that punishment.
That's
but,
fair.
You know, I have noticed, too, like, he's not quite escaping as many potential sacks as he has in the past. Like, one of the most underrated parts of Baker's game is his ability to evade the rush and make a play downfield, and you don't really see that as much. Now, I can't say, like, that's because he's not in shape or because he's put on weight. But, yeah, I mean, like, I think there's no doubt he's put on weight. Now, the question of whether that's been good for him or bad for him, I'm not sure.
Yeah, gotcha.
We're talking with Jake Trotter of ESPN. More on Baker, Jake. You know, obviously, he until this past week, or really until the last, you know, 35-some-odd minutes of this last game, he had been playing better. But overall for the season, the numbers are down, right? His quarterback rating is last. Completion percentage last, QBR is 19th, interceptions, he's third, touchdowns, he's 19th. The numbers are bad across the board, and he seems, I think you talked about, you know, they need a coach to get the best out of him. It seems to me that they need a coach that's going to coach him hard, right? Like, I think he's a little too cocky, a little too, I've arrived when he hasn't. Is that unfair? Does he need a coach that's a little tougher on him? Because he's got the talent. But it's not shining through often enough right now.
It's an interesting question. Baker has always been that way. It is always going to be that way. And you drafted him knowing that.
So that's true.
The idea that you're going to now try to change who Baker Mayfield is, I don't necessarily think that's a good plan. And, you know, not one you should have if you're going to draft him in the first place. And, you know, thinking about the guys he's had before, like, he's kind of had a pretty laid-back ecosystem, you know, whether it was Bob Stoops or Lincoln Riley or even Cliff Kingsbury before that, and he thrived. And so I don't know that it's necessarily like an intangible issue. You know, Baker is still a hard worker. You know, from you know, I think that's why the Johnny Manziel comparisons were so, I think, misguided during the draft process. I mean, this is a guy that works hard, studies the game, wants to do well. You know, look at the Pittsburgh game. I don't think it's like one tonic that's going to solve all of this. But like, look at the Pittsburgh game. End of the game, he gets picked off by Hayden, and clearly he threw the ball where Jarvis Landry is not where Baker thought he was going to be. Right. So like, why is that happening there? Is that on Jarvis? Is that on Baker? Is that on Freddie? You know, and so often it feels like they have not been on the same page as an offense, which I think has played into a lot of Baker's struggles. I don't think he's had the greatest confidence in his offensive line throughout the year. So, again, they've got to figure out a way to support Baker better. I don't know that finding somebody that's going to shut down his personality is the right answer to making him the franchise quarterback we all thought he was going to be.
But do you have to coach him hard and to – maybe show him that can he still be cocky and yet also realize he has more to learn? Does he realize that he hasn't arrived?
Yeah, Baker is more calculating than people give him credit for. And I think his persona to us is different than the one behind the scenes.
Okay.
Like, you know, Baker is going to have fun. You know, he's gonna crack jokes, but you know, this is a guy that also is all in a way that, like, you know, I think some guys on this team clearly have shown that they're maybe not. You know, including the topic that we opened the show with here or the segment.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know that Baker's personality is the problem, but it is definitely an easy target when things are not going well, whether it's all the commercials or the bravado, you know, the way he carries himself in the media. If they were winning, we'd be talking about how great it is. You know, it's like Freddie's t-shirt.
Yeah.
Freddie's t-shirt. Like, I didn't hear anybody complaining about it until they lost the game Sunday. Everybody would have thought that was the greatest thing in the world if they had won. But because they lost, it just looks dumb. And so I think this just kind of goes back to, we're looking for things to nitpick at Baker that really don't have as much to do with him actually playing well on the field.
All right, fair enough, Jake. Appreciate it, man. Hey, thanks
good stuff,
for the time.
Jake, thanks, man.
Okay, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.